I am doing really good today, and it's good to have you on today. And there is a few things that you do want to talk about. We'll get started with a workshop coming up, correct?
Yes. So the end of January, January 23rd, we will be having a land lease and law workshop. We're offering this workshop virtually or in person. If you would like to attend in person, we'll be holding it at the Southeast Area Research Center in Parsons, right there on Ness Road, which is pretty conveniently located for everyone throughout the district since it's kind of in the middle of the district being in Parsons there. We will start at noon with a boxed lunch for those who would like to attend and come and participate and have lunch and visit with other people in person, of course, staying socially distant and wearing masks. And during this workshop, we'll be having a couple of guest speakers. We'll be having Chuck Audie with the Geary County Extension Office joining us to cover how to make a good written lease. A lot of times people have questions who are looking into leasing their property, or maybe they themselves are looking to lease land. And it's really important to start off on a good note, to start with a good written lease. Of course, verbal leases work as well, but really having it in writing is kind of the best way to go. And Chuck's been an extension agent for many years and is a wealth of knowledge, so we're looking forward to having him join us for the first part of the workshop. And then we also have Roger McAllen, who's a Washburn Law professor, will also be joining us to talk a little bit more about the lease laws themselves, and of course also Kansas ag law in general, local laws as well as state laws, and just going over some of the ins and outs of that. So we'll be having just a really good overall workshop covering land leases and laws for any questions you have, whether it's, you know, if you're looking into a pasture lease, who's responsible for fence repairs and how to go about figuring out those different things. And then to wrap up this workshop, we'll be going over the summary of our 2020 pasture crop and lease survey. I'm sure if folks have been listening in for the past couple of weeks, they've heard us mention this survey. And this survey, we're looking to collect local information. A lot of times we have people coming into the offices wondering what the average pasture rent or cropland rent is for their county. And our hope with this survey is we'll get more reliable information to give folks. So this survey helps out us as extension agents become more familiar with the area and the ins and outs of how people are setting up their leases, what matters to them, but then also providing more local, reliable information to others. And of course, this pasture lease survey, if you would like to participate, you can go to our website, which is wildcatdistrict.kstate.edu. Go to the agriculture page, and then it's listed there, providing some more information about that. Of course, all of the information gathered in this survey, the specifics will be kept confidential, and we'll be compiling all the responses from the survey to kind of get the average, most common factors. So you can complete either survey online or, of course, request for a survey to be mailed to you. And these surveys will be available through January 11th. So then after we get all these surveys in, we can go over them, compile all the results, and then put together a summary of those to have for our lease workshop coming up the end of the month.
All right. So, again, that sounds like a very comprehensive workshop. A lot of stuff going on there for land leases coming up here, which is going to be obviously very big for the new year. All right. Well, so, David, one of the main things you want to talk about today is, and we'll also talk about this maybe in the second part, and we'll go over land leases again, maybe if you missed that in the first part, but record keeping.
Yeah. So, you know, coming up the end of this week is New Year's already. I know at least for me, This last year has actually gone by pretty fast. So I was thinking about the new year, and some people come up with New Year's resolutions, but whether or not you decide to come up with a New Year's resolution or not, the new year is always a great chance for livestock producers to take a look at their record keeping. I know for some producers, they're preparing to file taxes and getting all of that paperwork together. And then, of course, I know sheep and goat producers are preparing or in the middle of kidding and lambing season. And both of these are important times for record keeping. If you're looking at filing your taxes, then, of course, you're gathering whatever records and paperwork you have from this past year. And then kidding and lambing season, and then, of course, calving season is coming up, too, for cattle producers. This is just a really great time, too, if you want to improve your record keeping. A new year, new kidding and lambing season is the perfect time to be starting that off. So just a few basic ways to kind of look at record keeping. Of course, there's the financial side of record keeping, which is very important. That's keeping track of feed, expenses, supplies, any vet visits that you've had, all of those expenses related to livestock. But then record keeping more on the animal side is keeping track of those kids and lambs that are born each spring and which does and ewes did have kids and lambs this year and how many they had. So one way to do that is right when those kids and lambs are first born and you find them in the pasture, or maybe you're right there when they're born, so you know exactly which doe or ewe they go to, and it takes out all the guesswork, which is great. That always makes it really easy. But so you'll want to identify which doe or which ewe just kidded or lambed, and you can do it in very a simple way of just having a notebook that you keep with you where you write down that doe's name or tag number, however you keep track of them, where you'll know which one she is. And then you'll write down the day, and then you'll write down what she had. So maybe she had a doe kid and a buck kid, so one girl and one boy. So you can make a note of that, and then your preferred form of ID. So I know a lot of market goat and sheep producers choose to tag their kids and lambs when they're born, and this makes it really easy to keep track of them as they grow. So then you could write down the buck kid is tag number one, the doe kid is tag number two, and you can tag those kids right away, and then that makes it easy to keep track of them as they grow and get older. And then another thing that I like to do is get a birth weight on those kids so you know how much they weigh, and then you can keep track of their growth later on. So you can weigh those kids and write down their birth weight, and then anything else you notice. Hopefully they're strong, healthy, active kids, and mom's doing a really good job of taking care of them. But if you notice anything abnormal, maybe one's a little weak and it's taken a while to get up and going, or maybe that doe, unfortunately, isn't doing the best job of taking care of her kids, maybe she doesn't have enough milk for them, you can write a note down about that. And then later in the year, this will help you know which does or which ewes kitted, had good, strong, healthy kids and took good care of those kids, and which ewes maybe had some problems. They didn't have enough milk, they weren't a good mother, any of those factors that will help you make a decision on which ones you want to keep for the next year and which ones you want to sell and maybe take them to the sale barn. And then also keeping track of which does and which ewes had which kids will help you get an ideal of how good of a producer that doe or that ewe is by having that birth weight on the kids, then you can take a weaning weight on the kids and know their growth rate, know their average daily gain, which is another great management tool to know which does and which ewes are raising your best set of kids and lambs, and which ones have the kids and the lambs that are having that highest growth rate, that highest average daily gain that we as producers always want to look for, because those will be the most profitable animals for us that do a good job of raising those kids, those lambs that we want to keep in our herd, and that maybe if we keep replacements ourselves, we want to look at maybe keeping a doe or a ewe lamb out of those mothers because they're good producers and we want to keep those genetics around in our herd. The other end to this is, of course, hopefully during breeding season, you kept track of which ram or buck you turned out with your does and ewes, so you also know the sire of the kids. So maybe you have a ewe that had a really hard time giving birth because she had a single lamb, and it was a big lamb, and that's why she had problems giving birth. And if you notice that reoccurring maybe with a couple of different ewes, you can go back and look at the records and see which ram bred those ewes, and maybe there's a correlation there. So you don't want to use that ram again next year, or maybe you all only want to use him on older ewes that have already lambed before. So there's a couple of different ways there that record keeping plays an important role and can help you out with making management decisions throughout the year. And again, it's a new year. I know a lot of breeders are either getting ready for lambing or kidding season, or they're in the middle of it. So this is a great time to maybe reevaluate your record keeping or come up with a few things that you want to keep track of better this year, and come up with a plan to put that into action for the coming year.
All right, so some good stuff there, and we're going to go ahead and take a break. But David, what can we look forward to here coming up in the second part of the show, starting here in a few minutes?
Yeah, coming up in the second half, I'll be going over just briefly the workshop we have coming up the end of January for those that are maybe just joining us for the second half. And then I'll summarize record keeping a little bit, but then I'll go into preparing for kidding and lambing season, some important supplies to have on hand, and I'll also just be touching briefly on the new coyote hunting laws that are coming into effect this next year.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take that break, Dave, and we'll talk to you again here in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning in Southeast Kansas.
Great memories last forever. The rush of excitement at Cherokee Casinos is a feeling you will never forget. Whether you're winning on your favorite game, hitting 21 at the tables, listening to live music, or enjoying a meal with us, the best memories are yet to come. Live your greatest hits at Cherokee Casino.
And welcome back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. We have David Scront still on the line with us today for our second part of Green Side Up. And David, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you.
All right, David, for those that maybe missed the first part of today's show, you're wanting to go over a pretty comprehensive workshop that will be coming up here pretty soon about land leases and a lot more.
Yes, coming up the end of January, January 23rd, which is a Saturday, we will be having a land lease and law workshop at the Southeast Area Research Center, in Parsons. And this workshop is being offered virtually or in person. So you could attend via Zoom or you can attend in person, and we will be taking social distancing into consideration. So space will be limited. So we ask that you RSVP so we can get a head count and know who's attending. And this workshop will start at noon with a boxed lunch if you would like to join us for lunch. And starting off the workshop will be Chuck Oddie, who's an extension agent in Geary County. And he'll be covering the ins and outs on how to make a good written lease and different considerations to think through when you're writing that lease agreement. And we will also be having Roger McAllen cover lease law. He is a Washburn Law professor, so he'll be covering the specific lease laws for Kansas and any more locally laws to take into consideration. And then wrapping up the workshop, we'll be doing a summary of our 2020 pasture and crop lease survey. And I know if people have been listening anywhere in the last few weeks, you've probably heard us mention this pasture and crop lease survey that we're doing. And if you would like to participate in it, you can find links to that survey on our website, which is wildcatdistrict.kstate.edu. This is a confidential survey, and we'll just be compiling all of those responses to get an overview of local pasture and crop leases in the area, which will help us out in providing more locally based information to folks who are trying to figure out pasture and crop leases, whether that is lease rate, who's responsible for fencing, just some ins and outs on those types of things. If you have any of those questions, this would be a great workshop for folks to attend.
All right. So again, great workshop coming up again. That is going to be, I do believe you said the 23rd of January. So plenty of time. Is there a deadline that you need to register for this event?
I'm sure there is. I don't actually have that written down in front of me in the moment, but usually if folks just let us know the week before the event, mainly it's just to make sure we have enough food available, and then also because of social distancing, space will be limited. So if folks can just call in and RSVP as kind of as soon as they figure out if they'll be able to make it or not, that would help us out a lot.
All right. Sounds good. So again, that is coming up on January 23rd. It's going to be a great event coming up. And first part of the show, we were talking about records keeping since the new year is coming up. You can kind of go over that just a little bit. But the main thing you didn't want to talk about is supplies. But again, we'll go over a little bit of both for those who maybe missed the first part.
Yes. So the new year is coming up already. It's kind of hard for me to believe. I know, at least for me, last year went by pretty fast. So with the new year, this is a great opportunity to take a look at your record-keeping system for your livestock. I'm going to be focusing kind of specifically on sheep and goats, as those producers are already in the middle of kidding and lambing or are getting close to starting, which that's a great time to really evaluate your record-keeping system, make any changes that you want with the new year, and of course with another kidding and lambing season. So one main thing about record-keeping, of course, is the whole financial side, which is very important, especially right now. Producers, and I know folks in general, might be already gathering up the information to prepare to file their tax returns. But another side that's important for producers is keeping track of the information as those lambs and kids are born. Once they hit the ground, writing down which doe or which ewe had them. So maybe you go out to feed in the morning and a doe's kitted and there's two new kids on the ground, and you kind of need to do a little bit of observation to figure out which doe they belong to, or maybe it worked out perfectly and you're there when those kids hit the ground, and that takes all the guesswork out for you, which is always really nice. So record keeping can be as simple as just keeping a notebook with you to write down, say, Doe 23, or maybe you know them all by name, so you can write down her name. Had two kids, a buck and a doe, so one boy, one girl. You can make a note of that. And a lot of market goat and sheep producers, I know their preferred method of identification is ear tagging. So you can ear tag those kids right then, which then will make it easy to keep track of them as they grow. So you'll write down the buck kid is number one, the doe kid is number two. And then I really like to take birth weight on kids and lambs. And this just helps me know as those kids grow, I can track their growth rate and average daily gain. And this can be as easy. I know some producers might weigh their kids and lambs like once a month or every couple of months as they work the herd. Or you can just take the birth weight and then take a weaning weight when you wean those kids and lambs. And that will help give you an idea of their growth rate, their average daily gain, and kind of give you a better idea of which does and ewes in your flock are the best producers and raise kids with really good growth rates, which will help you with other management decisions, whether it is which does or ewes to sell when you wean the kids and not keep them for another season, or if you keep doe kids or ewe lambs as replacements, you can decide kind of based on their mother's records which ones you want to keep in your herd because they have genetics and their moms always produce kids or lambs that grow really well. And then it's also a great way when you're writing down the kids' information. If you notice anything abnormal, of course, we always hope for really strong, healthy kids, but maybe there's a kid that's a little weaker, taking a little bit more to get going. You can write a note of that. Or maybe a couple of days later, you discover that she's not producing enough milk for both of her lambs. And you can make a note of that. And that will help you keep track of things and take out some of the guesswork. I know sometimes we're really busy taking care of those newborn kids and lambs. And we maybe forget to write things down like that. And then a couple months later when we're looking over the herd and deciding who we want to sell, we know there was a ewe that she didn't have enough milk, but then it might be hard a couple months later to remember exactly which one she was. So making notes like that is a great way to help you make management decisions later on. And kind of going along with that is talking about what supplies to have on hand for lambing and kidding season. So, of course, I talked about having a notebook or whichever way works for you to keep records. I know some producers have an app on their phone or just use the Notes app on their phone to write things down. So along with that, a couple other supplies to have on hand is, of course, towels. For lambing and kidding, towels are really important to have on hand. If you're right there when the lambs are born, then you can, of course, give the mom a chance to clean those lambs off herself because that's really important for the bonding between the ewe and her lambs. But you can use those towels to kind of help the mom clean off the lambs a little bit, especially if she has multiples right when they're born to make sure the nose and the face is cleared off so those lambs have a chance to breathe without having all the birthing fluid all over their face. So you want to clean off the nose right away. Or also if you find newborn kids or lambs on a pasture, sometimes, especially this time of year right now, it's kind of rainy and cold outside. So having those towels with you will help dry off any kids and warm up them if need be. So towels, of course, is also important. Another very important supply is iodine. You want to dip the umbilical cords in iodine at birth, and this will prevent infection from traveling up the umbilical cord. And then along with that, another important supply to have on hand, which hopefully you won't have to use, is colostrum or milk replacer. Sometimes, especially dairy goat producers, they can freeze colostrum and have it in the freezer from the previous year. So if you're able to do that, that's great. If not, colostrum replacer will also work. Colostrum is the first milk that mothers produce, and it's very important for kids and lambs to get colostrum or colostrum replacer within the first 24 hours after birth, as this helps out their immune system and getting the antibodies and the immunoglobulins that are in that colostrum that are vital for them to have a healthy immune system and to survive, essentially. And then, of course, any ear tags, if that's your preferred way to keep track of kids, making sure you have plenty of ear tags. There's also a couple other supplies that can be handy to have. One of those is a bulb syringe. I know some people also call it a snot sucker. And it's the same thing that's used on babies. And to have that there for kids and lambs is really handy. Sometimes you'll get a kid or lamb that's born breech, and you might actually have to help out and pull that lamb or kid. And then they have a greater chance of getting that fluid into their mouth and lungs. So having that bulb syringe is a handy way to clean out their mouth and nose and help them to get a head start. And so that's one of the things I've found to be handy over the years. And then there's also, you can also get into what more medications to have on hand. So any antibiotics you have on hand, or it's a great opportunity as you're preparing for kidding and lambing season to talk to your vet and help form that working relationship there. And if you do have to go in and pull a lamb or kid, talking to your vet to see which antibiotic, or if they recommend giving an antibiotic afterwards. So those are just a few of the basics. Of course, you can get a lot more in depth with what supplies to keep on hand, but those are just a few basic things you want to make sure you have going into kidding and lambing season, or as you're in the middle of it, making sure you stay up on, well stocked on all those supplies.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on today. If anybody does have any questions about what you're talking about, or maybe some other questions, how can they get a hold of you at there at the Extension offices?
Yeah, I am usually at the Independence Extension office. That phone number is 620-331-2690. But, of course, you can call any of our Extension offices in the four counties, and they'll be able to transfer your phone call to me or whichever agent can help answer your question. And then you can also, on our website, wildcatdistrict.kstate.edu, you can find my email address along with the phone numbers for all our offices and email addresses for all of us agents.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on here today, David. Again, I won't see you again before the new year. So I hope you had a great Christmas, and I hope you have a very, very happy new year.
Thank you. Happy new year to you as well.
All right. Thank you, David. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That is David Skrantz from the K-State Extension offices today. Doing a great job here today. We love talking to them when they call in, and we always look forward to Green Side Up. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to start open line today. We already have our KGGF poll question of the day up on our Facebook page, KGGFKUSN, and also on our website, KGGFradio.com. So, again, lots of ways to vote on that today. And according to radar, it's snowing out there. I'm going to check that out here in just a second. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this hump day morning.